In case you didn't hear, the midterm elections, they are over. It's safe to come out now. And by the way, note to political candidates who have yet to get their signs off the roadside, you're no longer campaigning, you're now littering. Be that as it may, we're going to start things off today with a review of how some of the key and most watched New Jersey races played out. To do that, we welcome a professor of political science who teaches at St. Peter's University in Jersey City. He's also a former Time Magazine senior reporter as well as an attorney, Professor Alan Sanders. Thanks for being here today, Professor.
Thank you. My pleasure, Chris.
St. Peter's University. Learn more about their education opportunities at stpeters.edu. Let's start at the top, the ballot as far as New Jersey, the Menendez-Hugin race. What does it say about the result that Bob Menendez can win despite probably having more negatives either created by himself or thrown at any one person than I think we've seen in quite a long time?
Well, I think it says that two things were decisive and very important to his victory. First is the fact that the Democrats outnumber Republicans, I think something like by 900,000 people. That's very important. And secondly, the big factor here was Donald Trump. I think that if Donald Trump was not in the background of the ballots in New Jersey and around the country, the results would have been very different. Many people believe that electing Bob Hugin would be facilitating and enabling Donald Trump even more, regardless of the controversies here in New Jersey. And I think most voters, and since most voters are Democratic in New Jersey, felt that it was more important to retain Mr. Menendez so that he could continue the fight against Donald Trump, or at least enable his fellow Democrats to do so.
It was surprising in a way because at least the polls, and we're learning about the how fallible polls are these days, but it showed that Hugin was getting the lion's share of the independent votes in New Jersey.
Yeah, and of course, one really never knows exactly what polls mean these days. After the 2016 election, where we had some sort of big surprises, as we all know, it's not clear what polls mean anymore, because I think there's a significant number of people, and you'll get pollsters telling you this, that don't answer the polls at all, number one, or if they do, don't really tell you what they really intend to do come Election Day.
Psychologically, I've talked to people in the past. They say if someone has asked a question, they want to have an answer. They don't want to be stammered or stymied in any way. So they'll say the first thing that comes out of comes to mind, whether it is going to be their true intent or not. So that again cast a bit of a shadow really over any poll that you see.
That's right. And in a day when on the internet and through the various websites, there's very little privacy that's left. Many people hesitate to really say what they think because they don't know where it's going to show up.
Let's look at the House races, at least the most watched ones, because thanks to districting in New Jersey, pretty much every seat is a safe seat, short of some calamity. But let's start with New Jersey 7.
Mm-hmm.
Did Tom Malinowski win, or did Leonard Lance lose?
Well, I think probably Tom Malinowski won. I mean, Leonard Lance was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He's a moderate Republican. He was frequently asked about the latest Trump shenanigans, and he had difficulty answering what he did or why he did what he did and how he would vote. Malinowski, of course, was an assistant secretary of state under Obama. He was also a leader of Human Rights Watch, and he made the most of Leonard Lance's sort of Republican calisthenics and then gymnastics. So I think it was both the fact that Mr. Lance had difficulty dealing with the Trump agenda and that Malinowski ran a very good campaign.
So Professor Alan Sanders, political science professor at St. Peter's University, stpeters.edu is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. New Jersey 11, Mikey Sherrill was probably one of the most interesting candidates on really both sides of the aisle all throughout the state. Did Sherrill show Democrats everywhere the way to win?
I think so. I mean, the model of the Sherrill campaign is to strike essentially a moderate to liberal position. She had a resume that was certainly very attractive to many moderates. She was a former Navy pilot. She is a former Navy helicopter pilot, and she was a prosecutor. And, of course, one should not forget the fact that she benefited from the fact that Congressman Frelinghuysen retired. Once you get a retirement, then that tends to even the playing field somewhat because there's no incumbency advantage to any candidate. So the retirement of Frelinghuysen and the fact that she had a quite attractive profile and was a moderate liberal, I think made the decisive difference and resulted in her election.
Makes me wonder, too, because Sherrill defeated State Assemblyman Jay Weber.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a state house politician and you see a Jay Weber lose, Does that cool your heels about stepping up and maybe think, I might just want to keep the seat I'm sitting in right now, because doesn't state politicians apparently don't look too popular outside of this realm?
Well, that's right, and they particularly don't look too popular when you have Trump, again, in the background. One should not forget that in all of these races, aside from the peculiarities and the individualities and the individuals of the race, really Donald Trump was on the ballot. You know, people speak of a blue wave. We can debate that, whether that was true nationally, but certainly in New Jersey, there was a blue wave. The Republicans suffered defeat across the board, pretty much, in almost all races, and that was really because of Donald Trump. New Jerseyans do not like the Trump philosophy. They do not like the Trump behavior, and they do not like the Trump policies, and I think you saw that up and down the ballot.
And certainly New Jersey 5, which for a long time had been hardcore red. Well, not hardcore, maybe during the Rockaway years might have been slightly hardcore red, but certainly under Garrett it became that. But once again, despite the early look of the vote on election night with McCann having a early sizable lead, it wound up once again as Josh Gottheimer's district.
Well, that's right, and that district is an odd district because you've got the northwest part being a hardcore Republican, but you've got the eastern and southern part being hardcore Democratic. When that was redistricted, a lot of people wondered which way it would go, and as you recall, one of the first Democrats to step up was, I believe it was Rothman, and he suffered a defeat. And Garrett went on to win and continued to win that district in large measure, because he reflected a good part of the district, but also because he was an incumbent. I think that now the scales have tipped, and you've seen the Democratic constituency get the upper hand with the election of Mr. Gottheimer 2 years ago. He now benefits also, I think, from the incumbency advantage. And because, again, of the Trump wave in New Jersey, Democrats were quite energized, and I think they helped make the difference to his continued success at the polls.
So with all this being said and all the hands being played out, how does a New Jersey Republican stay relevant and in the game now?
Well, that's very a good question, and I think Republicans are scratching their heads not only in New Jersey but nationally. What's interesting is, of course, if you look at the national results, the Republicans managed to keep and perhaps even strengthen their numbers in the Senate. But they did so by essentially winning what you would expect them to win, conservative areas, conservative states that would have been Republican in any environment, more or less. But the Democrats managed to break through and capture seats that had been Republican, and they also made a very strong showing in the suburban areas of the country. And, of course, New Jersey is in large measure a suburban state. So the Republicans have to kind of figure out where do they go from here. Sure, in the short term, they can capture seats that are reliably Republican and that reflect the Trump base. But they have to question and figure out how do they expand their appeal. The Democrats have shown that they can do so, and they can do so by talking about things that concern people. And in this last election, it seemed to have been health care and protecting people with pre-existing medical conditions. The Democrats were quite focused on that issue, and it played well for them.
He is political science professor at St. Peter's University, stpeters.edu. Professor Alan Sanders, thanks so much for your insight today.
My pleasure, Chris. You have a great day.